Frank is Matty's father. I only ever had intercourse with one man, and I only had intercourse with that man once, and the one time in my entire life I had intercourse produced Matty. What are the chances, eh? 1 in 10 million. We're less protected from bad luck than I'd realised, because though it doesn't seem fair, having intercourse only the once and ending up with a child who can't walk or talk or even recognise me, well, fairness doesn't really have much to do with it, does it? You only have to have intercourse the once to produce a child. There are no laws that say you can only have a child like Matty if you're married, or if you have lots of other children, or if you sleep with lots of different men. Anyway, I'm Catholic, so I believe in punishment. I slept with a man outside wedlock, and the price you pay for that is Matty. It's hardly surprising that this is what I got. But if the price you have to pay for a sin is so high that you end up wanting to kill yourself and committing an even worse sin, then someone's done their sums wrong. Someone's overcharging. I'd never hit anyone before, although I'd often wanted to. But that night I was in limbo, between living and dying, and it didn't matter what I did until I went back to the top of Topper's house again. Chaz fell over, more from the shock, I think, than from the force, and knelt, covering his head with his hands. "I had a boyfriend like you once," I told him. "It's a horrible thing to do, to have intercourse with someone and then disappear."
"I can see that now."
"You can't see anything from down there," said JJ. "Why don't you get up?"
"I don't want to be slapped again."
"Well, Chaz, I think that's brave of you, to show you're afraid of a small lady like Maureen. I respect your honesty, man. You won't slap him again, will you, Maureen?" I promised, and Chaz got to his feet. It was strange watching a man do something because of me. "Not much of a life hiding, is it?" said JJ.
"No, but I don't see the alternatives."
"How's about talking to Jess?"
"Oh, no. I'd rather live out here all the time. I'm already thinking of relocating, you know."
"What, to someone else's backyard? Maybe somewhere with a bit of grass?"
"No," Chaz said. "Manchester."
"Listen," JJ said. "I know she's scary. That's why you should talk to her now, with us around. We can mediate. Maybe we could work something out that might get her off your back." And JJ gave him some things to say, as if he were an actor and we were in a soap.
"Hi, Jess," said Chaz when he was shoved out onto the street. He was trying to sound friendly and casual. He reminded me of a petty gangster caught thieving from The Godfather in a movie, desperately trying to suck up in order to save his skin.
"Why wouldn't you talk to me?"
"Right, I've been thinking about it, so first of all I should say sorry, it won't happen again, and second of all I find you very attractive and stimulating company, and..." "Don't overdo it," said JJ. It's not me, it's you." He winced. "Oh, sorry, it's not you, it's me." At that point, he caught my eye. "You look like that wanker off the telly, Martin Thing."
"It is him," said Jess.
"How the fuck do you know him?"
"We were both just up on the roof of Topper's house. We were going to throw ourselves off," Jess said.
"I wouldn't have thought you'd be his type," said Chaz. "Too old. Plus he's a cunt, ha." He chuckled, but none of us was remotely amused.
"Oh, it's like that, is it?" he said.
It was exactly like that. Even Jess saw it.
"You're the tosser," she said. "None of this is anything to do with you. Fuck off!"
And she kicked him in the arse. And that was the end of Chaz.